Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltema, and our guest this week, mystery novelist, Vicky Delaney. Vicky, I gather you're writing four different series now. Are you writing more than one book at a time, or do you write one after the other? How does that work?
I try not to write more than one book at a time. I try to write one book from beginning to the end completely. Now, these books are fairly similar in style, as I expect, but the characters are all different. They have very different voices from each other, and my voice is different from book to book. Some of them I try and be a little bit funnier. Sometimes I try to be a little more serious. So yeah, it is important to me that I write one book from start to finish before worrying about another.
Yeah, I guess that it helps when you're trying to keep them all straight too. If you were writing a different one every day, you might wander into another character by mistake or something.
Or setting, yes. Plots are somewhat related to setting.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, of course. It's setting, and I suppose the characters, too, are going to drive the plot.
Yeah, and that's certainly true. In the new Tea by the Sea series, the main character is not even wanting to solve this stuff, right? She wants to leave it all to the police, and she keeps getting dragged into it by her grandmother. Whereas in the Sherlock Holmes bookshop series, the main character, the protagonist, is the Sherlock Holmes character. So she gets involved because she can't let things go.
So do you have any other books coming out in 2020 or in the next year?
Tea and Treachery comes out on the 25th of July. The next in the year-round Christmas series, which is called Dying in a Winter Wonderland, will be out in early September. The next Lighthouse Library book that I write under the pen name of Eva Gates comes out in October. It's a death long overdue. And then in January, it'll be the next Sherlock Holmes bookshop series, which is called Curious Incident.
I'm having trouble keeping them all straight in my head just as you talk to me about them. I can't imagine trying to keep all the plots straight in your head. Could you tell me a little bit about the Sherlock Holmes bookshop series? Right. I'm gathering by the title that it takes place in a bookshop.
So the Sherlock Holmes bookshop series is one that I particularly like writing because I really have a lot of fun writing this. It is set in the Sherlock Holmes bookshop and emporium, which sells, as the name suggests, all things related to Sherlock Holmes. But the main character herself is an English woman by the name of Gemma Doyle, and she is the Sherlockian character. So she thinks like Sherlock Holmes, for good or for ill. She has, you know, that observation skills. She has that incredible memory. She can be somewhat abrasive to people that are not quite following her train of thought. And I really have, I think of all the books I'm writing, that's my favorite to write because I really like that trying to get into the Sherlock Holmes mindset. So there are five books out in that series now. The fifth one came out in January just past, and it's called There's a Murder Afoot. In that book, the gang all goes to London, England. As I mentioned, Gemma's an English woman who's now living in the United States, but her and her friends, to London for a Sherlock Holmes convention. And, of course, something happens and murder and mayhem ensues there as well.
Well, please read to us something from the Sherlock Holmes bookshop series. There's a Murder Afoot.
I'd be more than happy to. This is also, it's set fairly well into the book, about a quarter of the way in. The murder has happened. The police have been called. So here we are in London, England. And West London is the name of the town that they actually live in it's on Cape Cod, actually. In West London, I'm so busy trying to avoid letting Ryan and Louise know what I'm doing, I forgot that here I am not entirely without resources. Detective Louis Vestrada was Ryan's partner. I sent a text to the number Pippa had given me. Check CCTV footage. I described the bullet-headed man as best I could, as well as where and when I'd last seen him. I did the same for the dreadlocked woman. I didn't ask Pippa to find Randy's angry Polish girlfriend. Her business card kindly provided me only with not only with a name, Arianna Nowoski, but a phone number and London address. What's so funny? Jane asked. I'm thinking of poor Pippa trying to keep Ryan, Donald, and Grant entertained all day. We went to Gloucester Road tube station and took the District Line train to Westminster, where we changed to the Jubilee Line. We got off at London Bridge Station. London Bridge was a long way from where we needed to go, but we were half an hour early and I didn't want to be seen hanging around Randy's building waiting for the appointed time. I feel like a latte, I said to Jane when we emerged into the street. Aside from a few tourists, recognizable by the cameras around their necks or phones held in front of their faces, this area, close to the business district called the City, was almost deserted on a Sunday at noon. You do? You don't drink coffee. I can make an exception now and again. We're early for our appointment. This mysterious appointment you won't tell me about? The very one. I'd spotted a coffee shop and we went inside to be enveloped in the familiar scents of steamed milk and roasted coffee beans. We bought drinks and found seats, which wasn't difficult as the place was empty except for one scruffy young man hunched over a laptop in a corner. Jane was half finished her drink. I hadn't even touched mine when I hopped off my stool. Time to go. Back we went to the underground. As Jane swiped her pass and the turnstile opened, she said, "Is there a reason we're popping in and out of subway stations and on and off trains?" To which I replied, "Just a precaution in case someone tries to follow us." Jane studied the passersby. I'd been watching, but I hadn't seen any signs of being followed. There's not much one can do if the surveillance is professional and highly coordinated, but if one or two people were watching us, I would have spotted them lurking around the quiet coffee shop. We caught a Jubilee line train to Canary Wharf. When we emerged into the cold air, it was 5 to 1. Timing things down to the second wasn't proving to be easy, not when we had to rely on public transit. "Why are we walking so slowly?" Jane said. "Aren't you enjoying the view?" "I guess." The area known as the Isle of Dogs is surrounded on three sides by the River Thames. When London was the largest and most important city in the world, the great dockyard sent ships to every corner of the earth, trading in CNT, sugar, rum, textiles, and everything else imaginable. As cargo ships got bigger and bigger, and their cargo was increasingly carried in containers, which the docks couldn't handle, the area fell into ruin and decay. Now, however, it's a dense development of luxury high-rise apartment buildings and exclusive office towers with fabulous views of the river and the city. "Nice area," Jane said. "It is. Expensive to live here, so close to the business district." I didn't want to use my phone unless leave an electronic trail, so I grabbed a paper map off the concierge's desk at the hotel. My intention was to stay completely off the police radar. Everything I'd learned, I'd pass on to Pippa and leave it up to her to decide what to do with the information. Hopefully, no one would have reason to check on my activities, but better safe than sorry. London's full of CCTV cameras recording just about everywhere in public places. Again, I expected no one would have reason to want to track my activities, but I tried to avoid the cameras when I could see them, which I knew wasn't always the case. A cold east wind was blowing off the river, bringing the threat of icy rain or snow. And before stepping out of the underground, I pulled my scarf up around my neck and walked with my face down. Jane had on a black and white plaid wool coat, a heavy gray scarf, and a white beret that did nothing to keep her warm, but looked very cute. We walked for less than 5 minutes before arriving at the address I'd been given. The streets in this area, close to the city and its gigantic office towers, were largely empty, it being a winter Sunday. But a few people were braving the weather, walking dogs or children, or jogging along the fireside, the riverside. I checked the time on my phone. 13 minutes after 1, 2 minutes to go. I opened the front door and we stepped into the vestibule. I pulled out my street map and consulted it, twisting it every which way as though trying to figure out where I was, where I wanted to go, and how the heck I was going to get there. Jane read the nameplates on the wall. "Are we here to see anyone in particular?" The sound of the electronic lock disengaging was barely audible. I pulled the handle and the door slid soundlessly open. I hadn't taken off my gloves. I slipped through and Jane followed. "Did you call someone?" Jane said. "I didn't see you doing that." She began to peel off her gloves. "Keep those on," I said. Her blue eyes opened wide.
Thanks so much, Vicky. That was delightful. Many thanks to Vicky Delaney for coming in today and telling us about her mystery series, The Tea by the Sea Mysteries, the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop, and her other writing projects. And congratulations, Vicky, on the Derek Murdoch Award, on the launch of a new series and continuing publications in all your 1.5 million cozy mystery series. Where can listeners get hold of your books?
My books are generally available everywhere that books are sold, independents and as well as the chains. And they're all available in electronic books as well as in paper. A little caution to your audience right now, there are some distribution problems happening because of COVID-19, that certainly distribution has slowed down considerably. So if you're, looking for paper books, you might need to be a little bit patient. Some things are out of stock, both in bookstores and the online stores. But hopefully that'll all be rectified shortly.
We can hope. That's great advice, though. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you very much. It is always a pleasure.
To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future episodes to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another show next week on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.